Well, hello, Blog Talk
Blog
Radio.
Talk Radio.
Okay, good. Let me get started. I'm going to switch out. All right. Thank you for joining us on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to welcome you officially to Before the Garden. We're going to get ready to go live here on Periscope in just a moment once we resolve some technical things that we are experiencing. I am in Joliet again, if you can believe that, and we're on the road this time, joining Dr. Price actually in Chicago with an opportunity to speak with the International Congress for Apostles. And so we're excited for her to have that opportunity. And so we're, you know, broadcasting from a different location yet again. And so we're going to get ready to start our broadcast and jump into what it is that we're here to do. I have a great live audience that is with me that decided to hang out with me a little bit here. And so I'm excited about that. And so hopefully we can get it together for you all. Okay, let's see here. Uh-huh. I didn't have one last time, but I can.
I couldn't remember.
Because we, yeah.
Would you like one, or are you okay with that?
I think I'm going to be okay with that. Let's just move some of my excess stuff around. And you know what? I need a longer cord. So I just realized that this cord
that I have
is
a little bit too short.
Yeah, that'll be so great. You guys won't be able to see slides tonight. I need to something like a power strip or something because my phone is getting ready to die. And I don't want to, it's going to drain right on out of Periscope.
Because
you
can't
connect
or because
oh, you can connect to that?
Uh-huh. I think you can. Do you have a...
Uh-huh, I do. Uh-huh.
You should be able to.
Okay. Okay, we are getting ready to get it started for you all here. Just having some fun stuff. That's always the joys of taping out of town. Is doing this fun stuff here. Okay. If I can switch, maybe I can do something like this. Yeah, there we go. This is the other one to stay in.
Is that better?
Mm-hmm. Move it back just a little. Mm-hmm. And how do we do it?
Are you okay?
Mm-hmm. All right. Here we are. We are joined. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. We are doing it right here again. I'm actually on the road for another time. Okay, hold on. Yes, okay. Sorry for the camera. I have to do some things myself. You guys should know I'm not used to this at all, which is why I have other people trying to do it for me. Maybe you can do this one. Yes? Almost. My camera's facing the wrong way. I'm so sorry, y'all. I am just so bad at it. And this is why I have people to do help me do it. But when I'm on the road, they trust me. They somewhat trust me to do it myself. Okay. Let's see. All right. We're just having all kinds of fun, technical things happening. And that's what's happening sometimes when you are in location. Okay. All right. All right, I think we're getting it behind. All right, thank you for joining us. I see you, Lovey. I see you guys coming on. Hi, Linda. See you guys coming on. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're going to have fun tonight. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why. It's wanting to do that. Okay, we're just having all kinds of fun technical challenges and interesting things, but I want to thank you guys for being on and joining us. I'm in Joliet right now, back at Antioch, Apostle Nona Parker's church, and I'm here with her lovely church family there. They're joining me tonight. Yes, we think we got it. Okay, so they're joining us tonight, so I thank you guys for your patience and waiting and joining us and getting on board. Okay, we got it all together and worked out. But we are broadcasting Before the Garden, so make sure you share. Go tell your friends. Go tell some people. You know, alert them. Let them know that we are doing this week's Wednesday Warriors, despite all of the challenges that tried to come up. But we are here, and we are ready to go. Are you guys ready to go? I look like we got some people coming on. Come on and go ahead and share and join us tonight, because we're going to have fun in doing this. Amen. I had some people rolling on, so I'm hoping that we're still able to roll. Okay. You may not be able to see all the slides tonight, and we're going to talk about some fun stuff, too, on top of it all. I've got my Blog Talk Radio people. You guys are also hanging tough with me tonight, so I thank you for that and doing that. So make sure you share this with someone, hashtag Wednesday Warriors, and we're going to get started with what we need to do here in a moment. I want to say hi to my Tulsa people as they get ready to climb on and join us tonight for this edition of Wednesday Warriors. We're going to be talking about Before the Garden. We're still in chapter 6, if y'all can believe that. Okay. All right. And I think we're having something going on with the broadcast. Not really sure what's happening here, but we're going to try to see if we can fix that momentarily. I'm having some fun challenges here. This is why I need my tech people to come with me all the time. All right. What are you experiencing over there? Because I'm thinking I'm having some problems. Yes. And just kind of let me see what we have going on there. Because right now it's telling me I have zero people on and that something ain't right. Okay. Yeah, something happened. I'm not sure what happened, but yeah, because I was climbing on in numbers and it just didn't do it. Something happened. Okay, so we're going to start again. All right. Thank you guys for your patience. Problem, but we are okay. It won't even. My phone is freezing. Okay, I'm freezing up here. I'm not sure why, but I am. Yeah, I might need to switch out. Just log out for me. Because my phone is freezing. Yeah, it's not going to let me do it. All right. Blog Talk listeners, thank you for your patience. We're just having some fun technical issues today. And gotta love the... Yeah. All right. We're going to switch devices here, and we're going to jump right into something else. I probably will need a prop now for your phone because you don't have a... Thank you. Somebody praying. I hear some prayer. Come on. You can pray for it so we can go ahead and jump in at Christ Tower. All right. Thank you for, yep, and this hopefully yours will log on. I've been having such challenges with my phone. Internet connection not established. Is it connected to my Wi-Fi?
It's connected to Wi-Fi now, or was it just running off the phone network?
Yeah.
It's something for you.
All right, well, you know what? Let's try Facebook Live. I know what's going on with Periscope today. It just doesn't want to do it. So let's see, where's your Facebook at? All right, we're going to just try. And, of course, this will be the day that I'm running behind schedule. Okay. Doesn't like this internet connection very much. We'll see. Hopefully we can get something going. And I don't know how long. All right. Okay, no. Yes, I have my people lighting up saying, ooh. Okay, go back. And, gosh. I'm trying here. All of this stuff. Come on. Okay, I'm going live. All right, not sure. Hopefully that'll do it. I'm not sure. Can you maybe? Okay, it's freezing or doing something. Okay. We're trying to make Before the Garden work tonight. We're having some internet challenges or issues here. I'm going to let you kind of hold that. See, I'm not sure what's happening with the screen there right now. It's kind of interesting. This is the fun part. Yeah, can you? I don't know if you can do something about that. Can you see that on the side?
I can't see it.
Okay. Okay. Is that how that works, I think? Okay, just once. Okay, all right. Well, let's see if we can make it work. I don't know. It, technologically speaking, we're having some challenges. The Periscope is acting up with the internet, so we've been having some fun. We've been over here praying so we can actually bring the broadcast to you and see to it that you guys got a little something tonight. So if you are watching, tell somebody, spread the word, let them know we're on Facebook right now. For some reason, the Periscope just did not want to do right. But we're going to roll with the punches on this, and we're going to keep going because that's what we're doing. Hi, Cassandra. Thank you for watching. Hi, Linda. Thank you for watching. Thank you guys for tuning in. We found a way to make it work, so we're going to continue to work it, and I thank you guys for being patient and helping us work through that. But we are live right now, so you can spread the word that we're right here on Facebook Live. I'm still here in Antioch. My people are still with me. Yay! And so people are logging on and able to watch. I'm hoping this video looks okay. I hope that I'm making it work. This is our making it work day here in Antioch. So I didn't want to skip another week because I missed you guys so much. I missed our connection. I missed our interactions and all of those great things. So we're going to jump right into Before the Garden since we are running just a little bit behind schedule. We're going to go ahead and jump into what God wants to say today to you all and through today's session. You know, I think it's going to be good. Dr. Price got some yum-yum in here. How many of y'all been reading? Yeah? Nah. A little bit of reading? Okay. She definitely has some yum-yums in here. Hi to my Tulsa family. Miss you guys while we're out here in Joliet at Apostle Nona Parker's Church here at Antioch Christian Assembly. Actually here for a whole different purpose. Dr. Price is going to be connecting with the Apostolic Congress right here in the Chicago area. So that's how I ended up here. So praise the Lord. We are at least, you know, able to bring something to you, get something on recording today. Some of you guys are on Blog Talk Radio as well, trying to find out how to make the connection. I know my Periscope people are probably freaking out just a little bit, saying, what happened? She said she was going to be on. And so they're going to probably take a minute to hunt and try to see if they can find us as we go forward tonight with the session. We are still in chapter 6. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are still in chapter 6. But you'll be excited because you know what we did in chapter 6 is that we actually advanced to the next stage. Those of you guys who've been following us know how difficult it is for us to just get through one page of revelation from Dr. Price. It is something to say, okay? That one page of revelation can be replete with so many great things. And so we're going to wrap up what we've been discussing on predestination. We have just two small elements that we want to lay out there and have a foundation for so that we can jump to God's elect in this book, okay? Because it's going to be good. Now, that whole section is something else. Praise the Lord. You have to pray up on that. But definitely want to do that. So before we begin, we're gonna jump into a little bit of prayer, and then we're going to get going. If you have your books, you can get them prepped to page 102. So 102 is where we are right now, and we're going to go ahead and jump in with prayer and pick up where we left off talking about salvation's witnesses. The witnesses to your salvation is where we left off a couple of weeks ago. We'll do a brief review so that we can bring everybody up to speed on what we've been doing. All right. And we can bring you all up to speed. Yes. All right. Father, we just thank you so much, God. We thank you for tonight. We just open up the heavens, God, over this session and over what you want to do in this place, God, what you want to reveal to your people, what you want to dispense, Father God, to those that are on tonight. There's something, Father God, that's weighing on your heart that you want to speak out, Father God, to those that are watching. So we want to give you the floor, and we want to give you the opportunity to bring the release, God, and to bring the fullness of this dispensation. I thank you, God, right now for opening up hearts. I thank you, God, right now for opening up ears. I thank you, God, right now for opening up spirits to what you want to impart to your people today. I thank you, God, for bringing us into that realm of knowledge, God. It's your realm of knowledge that you have to open. I'm asking that you would do tonight what you did for your own apostles, God, and that is illuminate the scriptures. Cause the scriptures, God, to make sense to us. Cause them, Father God, to click, Father, that we would receive comprehension. We don't just, Father God, want to read things on a paper, but I thank you, Lord, that you would make this a living epistle tonight. Cause these lively stones to come to life in us. Cause these revelations, Father God, to speak to us and to cause us to come into another place and another understanding, another dimension, God, of who you are. And I thank you for releasing it. I thank you, God, for causing it to be so in the name of Jesus Christ. And we give you praise for it. Hi, Lovey. Thank you for joining us. Lisa, thank you for joining us. You caught us right there bringing God into this, because when you're dealing with a revelation this heavy, you got to pray it through. Okay? Because sometimes the word without prayer just doesn't work. It doesn't cause it to become engrafted. It doesn't cause it to become solidified in your soul and spirit, and even to produce the fruit that God wants to produce. I tell you what, if you want to activate a revelation in you, you've got to do it through prayer. You can't activate a revelation just by intellect. What he said, knowledge puffs up. Okay? But if you want the word to edify, you've got to do it through intercession. After you get out of a sermon, after you get out of a word, I want you to go and take some time. Sometimes after you've received some deep information, you don't know what was just said to you or how or what. Take some time to intercede after you receive the word of the Lord. We pray before sermons, but we don't often pray afterwards to see to it that the word actually gets congealed and literally assimilates in our makeup. Because what he said, you have to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Did he not? So when you're receiving spiritual information, you've got to make a deposit into the spirit world afterwards. Jump in there and get into prayer. If you've been following us on Before the Garden, you've been trying to get a hold of this revelation, you've been trying to make sure this thing makes sense, you've been trying to find out where God is in it, mix it with prayer. Don't just mix it with study. Mix it with prayer. Amen? Mix this thing with prayer. Praise the Lord. And so intercede over your growth. Intercede over your revelations. Intercede over your knowledge. Take these things seriously. Don't just take the spiritual world as if it's osmosis. Well, I'll just lay out and the Lord will just do it. No, work it. Work it. Like you will pray and fast for God to break you through in your home, break you through with a car, break you through in your finances. God can break you through in revelation as well. A lot of times we have not because we ask not. He says if a man wants wisdom, what is he supposed to do? Ask. And if you want understanding, you have to ask for it. You have to ask. That's the most important thing. And so this revelation is not going to come without you engaging, actively engaging with God's spirit on it. First of all, you need to intercede over your sermons and over the revelation you get just to beat down the opposition inherent in your flesh to God's truth. There is an opposition that's inherent in your flesh to God's way of thinking, to God's logic system. So you want to make sure you get into prayer over the words that you're receiving and over the revelations you want to understand, because sometimes your flesh has got to be brought under the laws of the Spirit, under the power of the Spirit in order for you to grow in spiritual things and to mature in the things of God. We know that our human existence is the shortest part of our existence. We're going to be divine beings longer than we're going to be human. Y'all all right with that? You're going to be a divine being longer than you're going to be a human being. So that is important for you to nurture that part of yourself. Everything in this world constantly makes you want to nurture your flesh. But your flesh is going to fade away. It's going to pass away. It's passing away. What did Paul say? Your outward man is perishing, but your inward man is growing, okay, day by day. So you want to nurture the inward man. And how you nurture that inward man, praise the Lord, is going to be by spending time in that world, in God's world. If you want to start getting more and more comfortable with even the ideas of heaven, you can't be afraid to spend time in God's world even now. And the greatest portal and the greatest connection we have, the only connection we have to that world is through prayer. It's the gateway to that supernatural. And so you definitely want to make sure, okay, that you spend that time there. When you're getting this kind of revelation, mix the word with prayer, mix the word with worship, mix the word with devotion, spend time nurturing it. I was telling a client just recently that God's word exists to nurture your nature, particularly your divine nature, which you're most unfamiliar with. It exists to nurture your divine nature. Did y'all catch that? The word of God exists to nurture your divine nature. And that's why you have to spend a lot of time with it to get your divine nature or to get this flesh to get up off your divine nature so that it can grow and it can manifest. We want to manifest signs and wonders and miracles without having to bring our natural flesh into subjection, and that can't happen. They said the flesh profits nothing. It produces nothing for God. So if you're not able to discipline your flesh and bring your flesh under subjection, you can't have power flowing through it. Well, is it real? When are you, let's just be real. We're having a real moment here in Antioch. We can have a real moment together too, right here on Facebook. But when are you the most effective in your faith? When you make a decision to bring your flesh under, it's when you got out of worship, right? When you get, I mean, how many of y'all have ever had that moment where you just have an explosive, hallelujah, worship time with God? You are the most, you are your most effective self, your most optimum self as a believer when you come straight out of God's spirit, when you've had a spiritual treatment, or as John says, a heavenly gift imparted to you. Why? Because that is what nurtures your growth. Oh, come on, is it real? So when you decide to bring your flesh under, and whether that's bringing your flesh under through a worship experience, bringing your flesh under through a prayer experience, when you come out of there, you're the most, not only the most closest to God, but the most effective at being who you are in God. When God is able to have access to your spirit, the whole idea of your flesh, and that enmity is it blocks God's access to your spirit where the source of your strength and your power is to walk this walk that he gave us to do. You realize that you won't even experience the fullness of God's grace if your flesh is heavy on you like that? Why do you think God has to send us into fast to make your flesh weaker so that he has access to your spirit? Because he says, when you are weak, then I am strong. See, when God is strong is when you are, okay, when you can't help him. When your little flesh can't help him. Okay, God, right. Somebody said in here, God don't need no help. All right? But when you decide to surrender your flesh and literally allow it to become weak, that's when God has access to your spirit to make you strong. We're wondering why we have so many Christians falling, why this is an era where everybody's talking about how we can't get it done. Isn't this the era we can't do it as Christians? We are the can't do it crew as Christianity right now. Everybody's talking about how we can't do it. We can't do it. You know, when it comes to, oh, you got to have faith, well, we can't do it. Okay, you got to have power, we can't do it. Well, you got to live right, oh, no, we can't do it. Everything's talking about how we can't do it. Why? Because we have so much flesh and carnality in the church that is blocking God's access to our spirit. The spiritual infusion and empowerment and renewal and restoration we need can't happen because we have so much flesh happening. We're celebrating the flesh. And the more we celebrate the flesh, the weaker we become in our spiritual walk, and the more we complain about our ability to do it. Why? Because our ability to succeed as a Christian isn't in our flesh. God condemned the flesh. He said, where? You're going to find life in the spirit. And you have to bring your flesh under that spirit. Why? Because that's where the source of us being the essence and the fullness of who we are is. The fullness of you. The enemy is always using this world, this culture, to block your ability to become the fullness of who you are. Your real and true self. The original self before the garden. Okay. I'm talking about yourself before the garden. See, that's the one he doesn't want you to access. He will keep you in trial. He will keep you in tribulation. He'll keep you busted, broke, and frustrated just to keep you out of the spirit. In fact, my armor bearer tells me all the time that the objective of a lot of the frustration, not even the temptations we go through, is to keep us mute in God's spirit. And I have to agree with her that he always wants to mute you in the spiritual world. Because he doesn't want your mouth to activate your power to live like Christ. He doesn't want your mouth to activate your power to live like Christ. Oh, come on and share this with a few friends. Y'all already know we're getting good in here. We already going before the garden. Come on here. You were somebody in God before the fall. Oh, oh, what did we just say? Come on in here. You were somebody before the fall. You were somebody before the garden, before Adam jumped in there. And see, that's what God is trying to reunite and rejoin. He never got off the mission. My God, he stayed on task, didn't he? He never forgot who you were. After the fall, after the blindness, after the darkness, after the all of it, he never forgot who you were. And Jesus came down here and died so that you can regain access to who you are. Your flesh isn't what makes you who you are. It's just a carrier. Your body doesn't make you who you are. That's why it's returning back to the dust. That doesn't make you who you are. What makes you who you are is what God created and said, let there be in the spirit. When he created them, male and female, see, he had a purpose. He had a calling. There was something already written, which is why we're talking about predestination. It's what he already wrote concerning you. And when we hear predestination, the enemy has so taught us to fear it. Didn't he? He taught us to fear predestination. He taught us to fear God's sovereignty. Why? Because it's going to return us back to God's excellence. God's sovereignty and predestination is turning you back to God's original plan and original design. Oh, come on. Somebody go ahead and share this with somebody else. Go ahead, and if you want to do me a favor tonight, go ahead and tweet this on there to let the people on Periscope know this is where we are. We are hanging out on Facebook Live right now. It tried to get us, but it didn't stop us because we still got on here now. We still got on here. But I want you to understand that. That is very, very important. Very important. To not fear what God is returning you back to. He's restoring you back to excellence. He's restoring you back to the perfection. He's restoring you back to the purity. Oh, come on. Why are we fearing what he predestined, what he chose for us? He told you in Jeremiah 29:11 that what he chose originally was to do you good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's predestination. That's what he predetermined for your life. And the enemy is the one that wants to keep you from returning back there and make you believe that if you don't have the option to choose his way, you're missing out on something. Now, he ain't gave us nothing but heartache and pain. but he wants us to fear what God is returning us or recovering through Jesus Christ and through our walk in him. God is recovering your divinity. He's recovering your power. He's recovering your excellence. He's recovering your potency. He's recovering this. Oh, come on. He's recovering the best of who you are. And the enemy is the only person that doesn't want you to cooperate with that. He's recovering the best. Oh, come on. Oh, come on, oh, come on, oh, come on. Oh, y'all with me tonight? Because, see, that's important for us to note that God is covering. He right now is a, hallelujah, he right now is wanting you to understand what the mission is about. So he wants you to fear God's laws. He wants you to fear God's truth. He wants you to fear God's ways because he doesn't want you to return back to a state of superiority. Because, see, he forsook that estate. He gambled his away. He destroyed that estate. So what is he doing? Eliminating the competition. Well, wouldn't you? If somebody came into your job and said, hey, I'm your replacement, now train me, what you going to say? Oh, come on. What you going to say? No. You going to put sabotage in the middle of that? You going to do 1,000 things. Set them up, not give them all the information. Isn't that what he did to us in the garden? Not give us all the facts, not give us all the information. Because, see, when you don't want somebody to take your place, oh, somebody said on here, you lie. All right, Samantha, you do lie. You lie. Don't want to give us all the information, don't want to do all of those things. Oh, come on in here. So you lie, and that's what he did in the garden. He lied. He didn't tell us the whole truth about what being divine was. First of all, he didn't tell us we were already divine beings. And that we were going to trade down from immortality to mortality. See, he didn't tell us that piece of the story. Oh, come on. Y'all still hanging with me tonight. I appreciate that. So, exactly. We don't understand that he is trying to eliminate the competition and heap up something for himself in the process. Oh, come on now. I want y'all to understand it. Because it's real. It is real. Oh, yeah. I'm going to invite you guys to share this with some people because we're going all the way in. We're talking about salvation's witnesses. We're talking about how the enemy is really setting us up to engage and be participants in his failure. Every day the enemy's seducing you to enjoy his failure. When he's tempting you, when he's pushing you to do those things, okay, come on. He is tempting you to enjoy his failure. He is glorifying his judgment. Oh, come on. He's glorifying his judgment. He's putting makeup on it. He's putting songs to it. He got a whole worship team to his judgment. He got a whole doctrine for it. Oh, come on here. He's got celebrities. He's got his own prophets, his own apostles, mouthpieces, celebrating it, talking about how great it is to be judged and condemned and to not have God in favor, okay, or whatever, on your life. He's got philosophers, he's got scientists, come on here. He's got a whole string of things in this world to teach you how to celebrate his fall and his judgment and his forever condemnation and make you feel like it's a party. Hell yeah, we gonna party. Making you celebrate his judgment because all he can offer you is condemnation. And we're gonna talk about that tonight. That's all the enemy can offer is the condemnation that he receives. Oh, y'all with me? I want you to understand that it's a real thing. It's a real thing. I want you to share this with some people because, see, God needs us to hear. He needs us to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to be as wise and sophisticated and savvy as he was in the garden when he manipulated us out of our inheritance. Oh, come on in here. We need to be just as sophisticated, just as wise as he is. That is so, come on. That is so where he is. And so he's getting you to not fight for the promise and not fight for your purpose, not fight for your destiny, not fight for anything but the judgment that he has entered into.
He has you fighting and roaring and celebrating and getting excited about condemnation. Makes you celebrate death because he can't bring you to life. There's none of names. I want somebody, I'm watching y'all on Facebook Live. We got an intimate audience right now, so come on and just tell me real quick. Name one of the enemy's solutions that bring you to life, that give you life. When you think about who you were before Jesus Christ, name one of those things that made you really feel alive. And okay, maybe a few momentarily. Okay, but let's think about that for just a moment. He gets you to celebrate the things that you know are killing you. Alcohol, know it's killing you, you don't care. Come on, don't matter. Cigarettes, you don't care, don't matter. Okay, it don't matter. Everything that he does is to get you to celebrate death. Because death is all he can bring to you. So he makes you think that death is living. Let's be real. We think that death is living. And death is not living. Oh, come on. Death is not living. And we need to understand that as we're waging this warfare, because we keep doing it. We keep talking about God, and we keep spreading this gospel as if there's not an enemy out there. Like there is no opposition to what God is trying to do. Hi, Miss Toya. It's great to see you tonight. Okay? Hey, come on here. Think about it. There is no, come on. We act like there's no competition to what God is doing. And so we make you feel like everything's your will and your idea and your own whatever as he's drawing you into his judgment. That's like somebody saying, okay, it's going to be your last night of freedom. What you going to do with it before you go to jail for the rest of your life? Oh, come on in here today. I want you to fight not just for your salvation, but I want you to fight for the product of your salvation, which is eternal life and living in your divine inheritance and privilege that you've been given through Jesus Christ. That is what you're fighting for every day. You're not fighting for what's just here. You're fighting for the privilege and the honor to walk with God and to be seated with him in high places. Okay. I know. We think so low of ourselves, and the enemy keeps you thinking low of yourself. Humanity ain't nothing, can't do nothing, ain't going to do nothing right. Get you so focused on, again, the flesh, so that he can rob you of the power and the person you are in the spirit. And let me tell you something about spiritual things. Spiritual things are designed to manifest. I want you to write that down. Spiritual things are designed to manifest. They are designed to produce an outward result. So when you're fighting for your life and your power and prowess as God's spiritual being, understand that the goal is to get something to manifest, that you are supposed to show up in this world. Oh, come on in here. You're supposed to show up in this world. And that's what the enemy is robbing you of. And since we started late today, I'm going to go over some things about the witnesses to predestination, but I'm going to jump to a heart of the matter that I recognize the enemy is the game he's playing. Okay? The game he's playing. And that is keeping us in bound or confused about condemnation versus the conviction of the Holy Ghost. So much so that when God comes to convict you of your stuff, you swear that somebody's trying to condemn you and judge you and castigate your life. So you will not allow yourself to be convinced. The definition, and I looked this up, you won't see it on the screen tonight, we'll review it next week, but the definition of conviction is to convince. Condemnation is to punish and judge and sentence. And the word convict is in there because somebody has to be convinced of your wrongdoing in order to condemn you or to send you someplace permanently, make a decision or judgment about your behavior. To convince. So we know the infamous Romans 8:1, but let's look at Romans 8:1 in truth. Okay, I'm going to put it up here on the screen for you all who are in the Antioch place with us tonight. Understand that. Let me see if I did it right. Hold on, let me do this first. We're going to switch screens for just a moment because I want to jump right to the scripture. Because Dr. Price makes a powerful statement, and you're going to have to make a decision tonight if you are a person who will live by their convictions, or will you be a person who will resign themselves to fate? A fatalist versus one who wants to live in the power and of the forgiveness and repentance we have in Jesus Christ. Okay, here we go. I'm going to jump right here. If y'all are going to hang with me for just a few moments. She said so many powerful things, but I'm going to jump right to this one right here. What I like about the word, as you can see up there, conviction, it means a firm or fixed belief, the appearance of being convinced, the appearance of being convinced, the act of convincing, proven by argument or evidence. Romans 8:1, we know, okay, I'm going to start a little bit earlier from the first verse all the way through. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay? So there is no condemnation if you're walking according to the Spirit. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You see why he keeps your mind on the things of the flesh? He does not want you to partake of your freedom. You realize that you can't even walk out your deliverance as a Christian if you cannot access God's Spirit, and God's Spirit cannot access you. If God's Spirit cannot access you, you will not remain free, as the Son said we should be indeed. The free indeed is in Christ Jesus. It says that there's no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus and if you walk according to the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We're wondering why we have so many people that are like kind of like revolving doors, delivered one week and then they're turning back, and why we can't see the sustenance. Why? Because we're not teaching them how to maintain their liberty in the Spirit. We're letting them begin in the Spirit and then return back to the flesh. Paul said, how is it that you began in the Spirit and are now trying to perfect yourself in the flesh? You cannot glorify that much flesh and think that people are going to stay delivered. You cannot parade that much culturalism and think that people are going to stay free. Why? Because our power of right to rule, our power of right to be free from this world is in the Spirit, is in the Spirit of Christ Jesus. And so when people start telling you that you can walk and live independent of that, they are selling you again into bondage. And we have sold the church back into bondage, which is why you can tell us a lot of glorification of flesh. Why? Because we want to expose more and more flesh and skirt in church. You ain't seen more mini skirts and drop cleavages like you see now. Why? Glorification of the flesh and wondering why we can't get free. I know it. Now, you ain't going to win friends and influence people by saying this kind of truth, my God, today. But if you want to be free in Christ Jesus, you've got to go back to your starting point. The origination of power is in the Spirit. Power did not originate in your flesh. And it did not originate in fleshly things. Come on. We say it so simply, but when it comes to living it, we forget it. And that's the enemy's job, to make you forget, which is why the Holy Spirit has said he would bring all things back to our remembrance. He has to remind you every day who you are. That's why he's on the inside of you. See, they had to go and visit the law. But now the law is written on your in your head and in your heart and on your hands. Why? It's written in you. It's written on you. So that you won't forget, and the Holy Ghost can remind you. It's sealed in your consciousness so that it can remind you of who you are. But you don't do that. But you don't do that. But that's not you. That's not who you are. And you have to become what? Convicted. Convinced that you are who Jesus says you are in his world. You have to become convinced of that. Because if you're not convinced, you're not going to convince a devil. Which is why he says that you can't resist him unless you submit to God. You will not be able to convince a devil in your life. You won't be able to convince a seducing spirit. You won't be able to convince temptation if you're not convinced of who you are in God's world. Oh, come on in here. You have to first be convinced before you can even convert others. What did he say to Peter? But when thou art converted, then you can strengthen your brethren. We can't even strengthen one another in the body of Christ right now. We can't even bear each other up. We've taken so much fire into our bosom, we're trying not to burn the house down that God gave us. Because we're not convinced. Because you change when you're convinced. You ever remember the day when nobody could change your mind about something? When you just knew that job was for you, that spouse was for you, this car was yours, and you were 100% convinced? Do you recognize that when you were in that state of mind, your whole sphere was impenetrable? Nobody could rock you emotionally. Nobody could rock you spiritually. Nobody could rock you physically. You were so locked in on that thing. You were so persuaded that you were unmovable. That's what God needs you to be about Jesus Christ. See, you already have on the inside of you the accoutrements you need to be a good Christian. You just have to make up your mind that it's worth doing that for Jesus Christ. Because you did it for your car. You did it for your spouse. You did it for your kids. You did it for your hopes. You did it for your dreams. So the equipment to live the way God is instructing us and tells us is the seat of our power, is the seat of our authority, is already in us. The capability, the capacity to do Jesus Christ is there. What's lacking is simply desire, believing that he deserves that level of commitment, believing that he deserves that kind of stance and steadfastness and unmovability on the things that he has given us to do. We got to be convinced. We have got to be convinced. You only will have to deal with condemnation if you're not persuaded yourself. Come on in here. If you're not persuaded yourself, then guess what? Not only will you not be able to persuade others, but you ain't going to escape the condemnation because you're going to resign yourself to its fate. Because you're not convinced that the solution that God brought to the planet actually works for you. That's Hebrews 5. Trampling again under the blood. Why? Because you're not convinced that God's solution works for you. And because you're not convinced that God's solution works for you, you will resign yourself to the fate of the universe that Adam kickstarted. That's fatalism. God's not a fatalist. If he was, he wouldn't have sent Jesus Christ. By definition, condemnation means, and I'll read it from here, an act of condemning, a judgment, but I like this part, the act of dooming to punishment or forfeiture. Believing, okay, and fatalism. I want to go back a few because fatalism is an interesting thing. And a lot of people believe, and the world, for all of their, they're in control of their own fate, have actually resigned themselves to fatalism. Why do I say that? It's the doctrine that events are fixed in advance so that human beings, because we're talking about predestination, right? That's where they're getting this from, okay? A doctrine that events are fixed in advance so that human beings are powerless to change. They're powerless to change them. A belief in or attitude are determined by this doctrine. If God wanted us to believe that humanity couldn't change, Jesus could have stayed home. If humanity could not change, now the deal is that humanity can't change by its own world can't change. When they left heaven, they left heaven doomed. They left heaven in that state. So they can't change. But Jesus Christ came to bring change. He brought the alternative. He brought the solution to darkness. So when you're dealing with people who say, you know, condemnation, first of all, though Jesus didn't come to condemn the world because Adam already did that. As the last Adam, he's coming to bring an offering, a way of escape from condemnation. The first Adam already condemned the world. We're already living out and under condemnation, which is why the biggest thing about free will that I want you to remember and never forget is that it's giving you an opportunity to escape condemnation. It's giving you an opportunity to choose God's way, which is why even though God has predestined some things, he didn't take away the free will option. Why? Because he's not absolving us, and Dr. Price says this in the book on page 102, he's not absolving us of our responsibility to make a right decision. We still have to choose that we want that way of life. Why? Because we have to be able to live with that decision forever. God can't make a decision for you, even though he will know what you were choosing. You are the one that has to live with that forever. God's all right with living with himself forever. He's okay with him. But you have to be okay. And the whole of creation, all of the witnesses that we've been talking about, the great cloud of witnesses, the three that bear witness on earth, the three that bear witness in heaven, every witness, the angels, every witness has to know that you're okay with your decision. Because God's not the only one that's going to be living with your divine choice. Every creature and every being listed in Hebrews 12, 22 through 24 has to live with your choice. Not just Jesus Christ, which is why we say, only God can judge me. No, because God's not leaving the judgment. He's not making his judgment just based on himself. Oh, come on. He's making the judgment on behalf of all of the citizens who decided to stay with him when they could have walked like Lucifer. Oh, come on. So when Jesus is making the judgment call about who will enter and who won't enter, he's not making it just for himself. He's making it for every citizen who called on his name. America, ideally, would not just make decisions just for themselves, just for the government. They're going to make decisions on what they feel like is in the best interest of every citizen who has to live with that. So you're not the only person that's going to be living with your eternal choices. Everybody has to live with that, which is why God predestined destination for choices, hallelujah, that we're going to be for and against him. A destination for those who would want to choose his way and a destination for those who would not. Why? Because everybody's got to live with it. Don't you have to live with it when a criminal decides to come into the neighborhood? Everybody got to live with it. When 9/11 happened and you had a few disgruntled, I say a few, but I don't know how many were really involved, disgruntled Muslims who wanted to blow up the towers, guess what? Everybody had to live with that. Nobody could escape their decision. They exercised their free will to just, everybody had to live with it. So when you're looking at God and judging God so harshly about why he gets to do this and don't do that and blah, 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 understand. He's trying to make a decision in the best interest of his creation. Dr. Price says something so powerful that God's standards are based on his fidelity to his own creation. Think about that, fidelity. That's what you want in your marriage. So God is doing what he has committed himself to do for his creation, and that's to be a God of justice, a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of peace, a God of equity, a God of righteousness, a God of holiness. He has resigned to be that for his creation. That's a covenant promise that his beings can look forward to living in a world just like that. That's an eternal promise. Titus, it's an eternal promise. God made us an eternal promise that suffering and pain would not be our existence forever. Amen. That is a promise that he made before he even brought us into existence, before he even said, let there be anything. He made us a promise. And his fidelity to that promise is why he can't bend his standards, not even for you, even if he loves you. That's why I made this statement. Even though Jesus loves you, his love for you is not enough. You have to make a choice that you're going to be convinced that his way works. We'll end on this passage talking about the Holy Spirit. Man, it's so much. I can just float on in the room. It's so much happening here tonight with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can see why Jesus talk about, why Dr. Price talk about Jesus being a sugar and have to take those moments, because come on in here. He is so, so good. And the fact that when we talk about predestination, how about God predetermined that he was going to be good to you? He predetermined he was going to be good to you. He was going to love you. He was going to look out for you. He was going to have your best interests at heart. That he was going to give you the best of who he was. He predetermined that. So when people say we're living our predestination, yes, we are. Because God predetermined that he was going to be good to me. That he was going to bless my life. Yes, I'm a product of his predeterminations. His choices. That would not be annulled because we cut up and because we rebelled. Oh, come on in here. Because we cut up and we rebelled. He decided, I'm a faithful creator. I will not deny myself. I will not deny who I am, even if my creation acts unrighteously. God said that he was going to let the sun shine even on the unthankful. Long-suffering. Think about Corinthians 13. Predetermined. Predetermined. It says here in John 16, 7 through 9, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Why is God convicting us of our sins? Because we don't believe his way is right. So he had to put us on this planet and put us through all these machinations to convince us that his way is the right way. To see if we would even be convinced. The Holy Ghost's job is to convince you every day that God's way is right. To prove beyond argument. Do you know that when a person ends up being convicted of a crime, it's because they were overcome by an argument that they could not disprove by their actions, behaviors, or witnesses? See, we have to be able to prove that the enemy's word on our life is wrong. But first, you got to want it to be wrong. You have got to want Satan to be wrong about you. And some of us are not always convinced that, he's wrong about us. Because there's certain things that we don't want to lose in our lives. And I get it. I know that vetting is real. But understand, you have to realize, come on in here, that you've got to want Satan to be wrong. You've got to be convinced first that he's wrong about you. See, we call him the accuser of the brethren, but sometimes we be wanting to live out his accusations instead of loose them and prove that he's wrong like Job. Job was convinced, went through a trial because he was convinced. And so the difference between condemnation and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, even though they both make you feel guilty, they both tell you you're wrong. But what is the difference is that one is resigned to the fatalistic outcome of sin, and the other is determined to be convinced enough to change. God convicts you, makes you feel guilty, makes you feel terrible about your sin, exposes it, brings it to light, uncovers it, embarrasses you, humiliates you, and everything through your trial and tribulation to convince you to change to his way. And it's only when you don't want to change to God's way that you become a condemned fatalist. You've resigned yourself to the fate that's on humanity. Because why? They don't believe in God. And it's not just about believing in some spiritual abstract force out there in the universe who's controlling things. It's about believing in a certain way of life that will produce life and keep producing life from now and to forevermore. That is what it's about. We make it about the whole religious system. This thing ain't about a religious system. It's about how we want to live forever. Do we want to stay this way? Do we think that this is actually working? When we're talking about believing in God, we're believing in the essence of the world that he wanted to create for his people. You believe in a righteous society. You believe in a loving society, a patient society, a kind society, a gentle society, a long-suffering society. Oh, come on, one without murder and one without stealing and killing and destroying and adultery and fornication and mess. See, that's what he's talking about when he says, you don't believe in me. Because we think it's about just believing in a being, that a being out there exists. No, it's about believing in what he created and what he wants to bring into existence for us. Oh, come on in here today. That's the difference. So the enemy wants to preach a gospel of condemnation to you. For all of y'all out there who believe that it's the preachers telling you about your sin that are condemning you. See, that's what we've been taught. That the firebrand preacher who's telling you that your mess is twisted. When did Jesus Christ say, the world is not going to like me because I'm going to tell it that his deeds are evil? That's Jesus the Christ. That's Jesus the Christ. Oh, come on. So you think it's your fire-breathing preacher that's telling you the mess, that's condemning you? No, the person who's condemning you and is putting you back under that spirit of condemnation is the devil himself, because he makes you want to quit. He makes you want to give up on Jesus Christ. He makes you find any reason to not want to fight for him, pursue him, go after him, and just say, oh, well, we can't do it. Oh, well, we can't make it work. Oh, well, who can be perfect? Oh, well, nobody's righteous. Oh, well, it's never going to work. Jesus' blood didn't do nothing as far as we're concerned. When you think about how we preach the gospel today, it is him convincing you to be a fatalist about what Adam did. That's why I am so against the gospel of Adam, the gospel of our imperfection, the gospel of our failure, the gospel of our defeat, the gospel of our inability. I am against that gospel because it's a gospel of condemnation. And yes, I'm going to say it, and I'll say it in front of anybody, because it is the truth. It is a gospel of condemnation. That is who's condemning you. It's not the preacher who's telling you that sleeping around is wrong, that you need to get out of the bed of somebody else's spouse. No, that is not the person that's doing it. It's the enemy that convinces you that you don't want to change. You don't want to be better. You can't ever do better than what this is. The fatalistic mentality. It's the Holy Spirit daily trying to convince you that you are more, that you're above adultery. You are better than that. You're better than that. You are a better person than that. That's conviction. When you hear those words and they prick your conscience and they make you feel guilty about what you just did in secret, the goal is not for you to walk around and castigate yourself for eternity. The goal is that you would repent, turn away, and convert to the better way of life and be the better person that Jesus Christ gave his blood for. You are better than this. So the next time somebody tells you that you are condemning them for bringing out their sin, you will remind them, oh, no, the person that's condemning you is the one convincing you that you don't have to change it, so that you can be a partaker of the condemnation that was set in motion from the beginning of time. The spirit that makes you want to quit on Jesus Christ, that makes you want to give up trying to be righteous, trying to be holy, and trying to do it right, that is the spirit of condemnation. That is what's chasing you. That is what's accusing you. Because why? He gets a harvest off of your condemnation because you're going into his world forever. I want you to think about that, because we have a lying gospel out there that makes you believe that people who stand for righteousness and who point out sin are the problem. No, the problem is the devil that doesn't want you to be better. And that's going to convince you that somehow if you stay this same person, it's going to work out for your good. Now you done hurt 105 people, destroyed somebody's home, took somebody's job, stole somebody's life. Okay, come on here. But somehow, going to make it, that's going to all work out better. No, no, no. The spirit of condemnation makes you not want to press for Jesus Christ and makes you feel like you should press for everybody else in this world but him. Everybody's more important. Press for your family. Press to save your marriage. Press to save your job. Press to save everything but the thing that's going to cause you to live forever and en route to living forever make you better. Now come on in here. I want y'all to remember that. The next time somebody stands up, I want you to begin to stand up for the righteous voices in God's kingdom that are trying to recover and recapture what Jesus Christ gave his blood for. And the whole goal is to restore us back to the state in which we were the excellency of the power. This is about that. The enemy doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to be superior to his nonsense. Well, we all hypocrites. I don't do the church because, oh, give me a break. So you're going to resign to condemnation the next time somebody tells you that? I'm never going to church again. I'm going to be a hypocrite because the church is full of hypocrites because the leader hurt me. So you're going to be a fatalist and resign yourself to condemnation. Oh, come on. You wouldn't do that in any other thing. And when we do that, people think we need help. They call it depression. They call it suicide. And I don't think we should have suicidal Christians, not in the natural, and I don't think that we should be committing spiritual suicide either by resigning ourselves to our inability to do what Christ said his word can produce in us. We can't do that. We can't do that. So I want you to share this message. I want you to pass it around because the enemy is a liar, and we're going to do it just because the truth is not in him. When the Holy Ghost convicts you, use it as an opportunity to find out how you can become persuaded, more persuaded about his way being right and your ability to do so. Believe in the grace that he gave you to do this. Don't believe in the enemy's fate. Well, I don't believe in fate. Yes, you do, because you resign yourself to it every day by rejecting the alternative. That's the goal. So I hope you guys were blessed by tonight. I think we did it. I gave you guys still an hour of something to do. Praise the Lord. Did y'all enjoy? Y'all all right? We'll talk about that next week. But it's important that we are on the right side of the line when it comes to, you know, dealing with Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to seal tonight with prayer. I'm going to ask you guys to sow a seed if you want to visit my site, www.tylerprice.com. Sow a seed into this. Why? Because the harvest you want in your life is a harvest of strength and power. This word is about producing life in you, power in you, and strength in you. And you want a harvest on this message. And you should always sow into a message that you want to be a product of. And I'll say that forever. I've done it with Dr. Price. I've done it with other people. When you want to be a product of that word, you sow into it. Because any other natural product you want in this world, you sow for. Your home, your car, your job, your kids, you sow for it. But if you want to be something in Jesus Christ, let's sow into something eternal. Let's sow into something that can't fade away, that the moth can't get to, that this world can't steal from you. So sow a seed tonight, www.tylerprice.com. If I have a few friends out there, if you can go ahead and text that so that people can have the site, www.tylerprice.com. Sow a seed into this word because I believe in each and every one of you who stood with me tonight that you want to be different and that you want to be the evidence of the change of the new creation. We don't want to be mere mortals. We're not called to mere mortality. And mortals are scared to sow. Mere mortals know that it's good measure, pressed down, shaken together, coming back. Why? Because things in the spirit can't die. Your seed sown to a man, yeah, that cash, that's going to the ground. But the seed that you sow to God's spirit and faith from your heart will never die. You hear me? Your seed to God will never die, which is why you could have sown $1 million into a church that hated you and rejected you and never gave you anything back in return, and God raises up somebody else to do it. Why? Because your offering and your seeds to God never die. They never die. So when people make you fear sowing because a preacher's corrupt, because of whatever, you're sowing into the incorruptible. And it's not just about the physical cash, but it's about the attitude, the treasure that you're releasing from your heart. It's the best you can give God because he's spirit and you're not. So what else is he going to do? So your seeds will never die. If you sow the seed to me or any prophet, understand it will never die. God will give you that harvest, and it will stay out there in the spirit realm searching for its harvest. A seed must find the harvest, and it will stay out there searching and searching until it finds the ground that it must harvest. And that ground can be actual cash, or that ground can be your body, your health, your healing, your marriage, your kids. That seed has to find a body in which it can produce a harvest. So understand, if you're sowing to me tonight, you're sowing to Paula Price Ministries, your seed must find its harvest ground. And that ground isn't always physical cash. So don't bind God to that. Bind him to the fact that your seed will never die because you sowed it into the spiritual world. And the spiritual world can't produce that. So understand that that's what you're doing tonight. So sow a seed, get involved with this thing, and then put a demand on that seed to produce. Now, the body of harvest that I'm praying over you tonight is in your spiritual growth and development, that you would come into the measure and stature of everything that is Jesus Christ. And that's for y'all here, too. Yes. That you come into the measure of your faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to close out in prayer. Again, www.talaprice.com. I take all the seeds that people give me seriously. I pray over them because I'm not looking for just cash. What I'm looking for in the end is for you to get the product for which you sowed for. That's the kingdom work. That's how it works. And I'm looking for the kingdom to work. I don't like slogans. I can't do the fake thing. So understand, I'm looking for the kingdom to work in you. Now, God, I thank you right now for the people that have joined us on this line. Then let them know today that the kingdom works, that the kingdom works for them, and that when they do things your way, because they believe in their God, that you will produce for them, that you, Father God, will manifest in their lives. You'll manifest as everything that they need. You'll manifest as provision. You'll manifest as a father. You'll manifest as a friend. You'll manifest as a comforter. You'll manifest as a healer. You'll manifest as a conqueror. You'll manifest as a warrior. You'll manifest as a lawyer. You'll manifest as an advocate. You'll manifest as everything that they need as they press you, Father God, in the spirit, as they continue to diligently seek you in prayer and word and worship, in their church services, in their school, in their training, taking you seriously, God. As they take you seriously, God, I thank you for seriously showing up in their life and producing on their behalf, going to war, Father God, like you did with Abraham. How he got the tithe is because you went to war with darkness on their behalf. And so, God, I thank you right now for going to war with darkness on their behalf right now to produce this harvest. Yes, God, I call it forth. Linda, I call it forth for you that the wholeness that you're looking for in your soul, that you will get a harvest on that in the seeds that you're sowing and in your diligence in seeking him. Wholeness in your soul. I call it forth today. Wholeness in your soul right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for it. I thank you for Toya Brown, God, that was the level and the dimension she's trying to break through in her prophetics, God, that this seed that she sows and her diligence and faithfulness of seeking you will produce that next level, will break the glass ceiling. I see a cup over your ear, Toya, right now, and I see God coming to shatter that cup so that you stop feeling like you can hear but can't hear all the way clear. So I break the cup over your ears, and I break it over your prophetics right now, and I release you to that dimension that God ordained and prophesied to you and showed you in a dream all those years ago. Carol, Rangel, I thank you right now. You have been sowing and sowing and sowing. You needed to know that seeds don't die so that you know that your giving to the Lord is not in vain, and it's going to mushroom, and it's going to mushroom all at once in your season. I'm telling you, it's going to come together back to back to back to back to back. You're going to get changes on your job. You're going to suddenly get changes on your car, home. It's going to mushroom. And it's also going to mushroom in the area that you want the most, and that is to be able to have God loose your tongue so that you can speak the word of the Lord. And so, Carol Rangel, we loose your tongue so you can speak the word of the Lord now in the name of Jesus Christ. Cassandra, I see God breaking you through. First of all, he's going to give you answers about the next step. So your harvest is going to open up the next dimension of destiny, the next level of your book. You have been saying, God, what is the next thing I'm supposed to do? What is it, God? And so by you sowing and pressing in him, God's going to open up
so that you can see the next blueprint on your life and know what steps to take. So, Cassandra, I call you into destiny. I bring you into alignment with purpose right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I take you out of this fractured place, this wandering and nomadic place that you've been in, and I put your feet back on the path of purpose, and I submit you to your success in this thing in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We call it forth. Stephen Holt Jr., I speak right now to you and your family that as you sow those seeds and as you continue to press, that God's going to open up. He's got a miracle that's going to happen for your family. It's a personal miracle for you. So I hope you're still on right now because you're about to get a personal miracle and visitation from God for what, for the things. He's got to prove something to you very interesting about his call on your life specifically. So know that he's going to do that for you. Paulette, thank you. Thank you for your service. First of all, God's going to give you a thank you gift for just steadfastness, okay? Just steadfastness. Right now, sometimes we think that it's a big deal with God. We got to be doing amazing things. But you realize they raised Dorcas from the dead because she helped the community, okay? And sometimes it's just our faithfulness to God and steadfastness that causes it. And so I release that on your life right now. Angela, I'm releasing a twofold blessing on you and your husband for your service. Now, God, I thank you right now for opening up their ministry. They've been lacking access, God. They have not had access favor in their city. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we go up into the spirit and we go up into the heavens over Iowa right now, over that city, and we speak to the elements of Des Moines and we say give way to the voice and to the sound of this ministry and give them the favor and access they need to break beyond. So just understand that yours is going to be access. God is going to give you a body of harvest in access. So understand that that is what's going to happen to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amethyst, yours is coming for your home. And you know why. And I'm just going to say it's coming for your home. It's coming for your home. It's coming for your home. This is coming for your home. So as you sow, understand you're sowing for a changed home. Understand that it's a changed home for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, yes. Lovey, as you sow and as you continue to do this, God says he's going to break a particular yoke off your soul that you asked him about. You almost asked him about this yoke so flippantly that you thought, he probably didn't hear it. It was almost like an afterthought. Okay? I was like, oh, God, and then, you know, whatever. You were just having a mental conversation with him while you're driving along in your car. He says your harvest on the seeds that you sow are going to show up in your soul being able to break this yoke. And this yoke will be the catalyst that's going to be the domino effect that's going to literally shift your life. God says he's going to shift your whole life. Now, when he comes after this thing, don't you be asking him to stop. And don't you be telling him you can't. You ask him for greater strength to endure your journey of freedom and your season of deliverance. Ask him for strength, lovey. Ask him for strength, not to quit. Not to back off, but asking for strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Bathsheba, I'm calling for a healing in your life, 100% healing in your life, 100% healing of your life. God says that you have been feeling like your whole life just got lost in a tunnel of things, and he says that he's coming to bring healing to your life. And it's an interesting thing because a lot of things get fractured in our lives, money, jobs, home, a lot of things get hit. But God says right now, as you're watching on this and you sow your seed, your harvest is going to come in a healing in your life. God's going to bring your life back into cohesion, back into cohesion. I hear the word cohesion for you a lot. So there's a lot of things that are about to cohere. And not only that, but he's about to answer some questions because you put God to the test and he's going to answer them questions. So if you're watching, understand, my dear Bathsheba, you are going to get questions answered this day. Because, see, when you ask God certain things and press him for some stuff, yeah. So be ready for the answers. Be ready for the answers. Be ready for the answers. Now, JD, you were just on. And God says that he's going to answer a particular prayer about what you need to do next in a venture. You've got a venture on the line that you've been asking God which way to go on. You're about to get an answer to that. So if you're still watching, understand that your answer to that and what you need to do in that particular venture is going to come. Know that God is not necessarily, come on now, okay? Know that God is not necessarily going to roll out all of the red carpets like you want him to, but know that he's going to be faithful in giving you an answer concerning how you need to move forward. Don't give up. I just hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, don't give up on some of the ideas that he gave you, okay? Because there's some ideas that he gave you, so, JD, don't give up on that, all right? Because you need to press for those things. So I want you to do that. I want you to press. Yes, I see you back there, JD. Don't give up because you were at the brink of some things, and we're not going to talk about them on Facebook Live.
because, you know, I'm a respectful prophet, but understand that God says don't give up. He's going to give you the answers that you're needing for. Ah, Nydia, hi. I'm glad that you're on. Praise God. I'm praying for you to succeed in school. Okay, I pray the spirit of failure. You hear me, Nadia? I pray the spirit of failure off your life right now. I curse it at the root. You will not fail in this venture. You will succeed at school, and you will go forth in what God has given you to do. You will not fail in this thing. I strike it down right now before it has a chance to form. This weapon's not going to form against you because we're going to shut it down. We're taking a preemptive strike right now in Jesus' name to say no, no. You will succeed. You will succeed. You will succeed. You hear me, Nadia? You're going to succeed at school, and you're going to win. And I'm putting the spirit and the anointing of the win and achievement on you. The mantle of the achiever is coming to your life right now, and we release it upon you in Jesus' name. No, 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 because you're not going to fail at this. God doesn't produce failures because, see, we need to know in this season that kingdom works. Righteousness works. When you do God the way God does God, it works. When you do God the way God does God, it works. It works. It works. So I release a harvest, even if I didn't call your name. I'm sending your seed to go and prosper you in the thing in which you need most. I'm sending your seed on assignment. I'm not allowing it to fall to the ground, and I'm not allowing it to go into just some basket. It will produce. I command the harvest. I command the harvest. Oh, my friend Sam Stanton, how are you? I command the harvest on your life, too. I'm commanding the harvest on your life right now. I release this thing. Okay? Shan Graham, the same thing with you. I release it on your life. First of all, don't allow the things that you're going through to confuse you, because right now it's just a spirit of confusion. So, Shan, I pray the spirit of confusion off your life so that you can get back to even hearing God. This thing has your mind wrangled up so much, my God, you can't even think straight. So I release clarity back to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Crystal Jackson, same thing for you. You're going to get there. God says steady as she goes. Don't go to the left or the right. God says stay the course and stay steady. Crystal, it's a season of stability and steadiness for you. God is measuring your consistency right now. He's measuring your consistency. How consistent can you remain in this new walk and this new commitment you've made to Jesus Christ? Because you made a fresh commitment. You got real with God. Y'all got real with God. Man, y'all got real. So guess what? God's going to honor that commitment of realness in your life. But he's looking for one thing before he releases the breakthrough, and that's consistency. That's consistency. Consistency, consistency. I want you guys to remember that. That's the secret to really getting God to move in your life. Not only is it faith and love and all of those great things that he needs, because God loves for you to love him, and he loves for you to love what he's about. Not just love him, but love what he's about, too. All of that's great, but it's also consistency. Remain consistent in what God has given you to do, okay? Consistency, consistency. So, Crystal, you're going to be blessed. Amen. Terica, it's nice to see you on tonight as well. And on that note, praise the Lord, I'm going to end us. Because y'all have had me on here all night trying to prophesy to the entire Facebook. No, no, no. No, no, no. Okay, although I could. No, no, no. But I want you guys to remember, we're going after power. And we're going after being the fullness of who we are. So I leave you with that this week. Settle for nothing less than what Christ gave you. Settle for nothing less than Christ's best. Okay? Christ's best on your life. And don't allow Satan to bring you back into condemnation. Amen? Bless you, bless you, bless you. I love you all. And good night.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not saying that I'm multiplying the money.